This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Life for the residents of Kabul has changed dramatically in the past couple of weeks. With the demise of the Taliban and its strict interpretation of Islam, residents in the capital began to enjoy freedoms and pleasures denied them since the city was captured by Taliban forces in 1996. While most Afghans are celebrating the fall of the Taliban, they are apprehensive about the future. NPR's Michael Sullivan reports from Kabul.
For 5 years under the Taliban, Kabul's cinemas were dark. Movies were banned, as were television, photographs, paintings, anything that depicted a living creature. Last week, the Bakhtar Cinema in the center of the city became the first film house to reopen. The twice-daily showings have been packed ever since. The movie keeping the attention of the audience at the 2:30 matinee is an Afghan film. It is a war movie, a tale of one man's defiance in the Mujahideen's war against the Soviets in the 1980s. The camera is jerky, the sound awful, but the audience doesn't care. They hang on every frame. At one point, the Mujahideen capture a Soviet soldier who begs for his life by pretending he is a Muslim. The audience laughs. The prisoner is executed. After the movie, one of the customers, 25-year-old Abdul Rafar, sporting a neatly trimmed post-Taliban beard, is clearly delighted.
This is the first chance I've had to see a movie in the cinema for 5 years. And I have to say, this was a good movie. It was a good movie because it shows that anyone who interferes in Afghanistan will face the same destiny.
But many innocent Afghans have also shared that destiny, killed in the Mujahideen infighting that followed the Soviet withdrawal. Now that the Taliban are gone, many are wondering if it will happen again. The Mariz Maidan neighborhood is in the west of Kabul. Pop music blares from a vendor's stall. 2 weeks ago, when the city was still occupied by the Taliban, no one would have dreamed of playing music in public. Now it's hard to escape it. This part of the city was almost totally destroyed in the Mujahideen infighting that followed their takeover of the city in 1992. There are few structures left intact, the pancake ruins of multi-story buildings and piles of rubble that were once homes show the intensity of the fighting here. Those responsible for most of the damage are two of the groups that are now part of the Northern Alliance, the ethnic Hazara Hezbi Wahadat and the largely Pashtun Hezbi Ittihad. Gula Yahia, a former government worker, now jobless, lost his home and a family member during the fighting.
Where we are standing, this is where the Wahdat people were based. And that place over there, where the high school is, that is where the Ittihad people were. For 1 hour early in the morning, there was a ceasefire between them. Some people would use that time to sneak out of this area and go to a safe place. Then the fighting would start again.
Yahia says he hopes the various factions can put aside their differences, this time, to avoid a repeat of 1992, and that neighboring countries such as Pakistan and Iran and others such as Russia stop meddling in Afghan politics so that peace has a chance. In the south of the capital, Kabul, near the tomb of the exiled King Zahir Shah's father, is the neighborhood of Kartanau. It, too, was almost completely destroyed during the Mujahideen infighting after 1992. Fighting here between forces loyal to the Uzbek warlord General Rashid Dostum, now in league with the Northern Alliance, and the Pashtun Hezbi Islami leader Gulbuddin Hekmatyar. 55-year-old Nick Mohammed is busy making stoves from scrap metal to help stave off the bitter Kabul winter. Business isn't very good, he says, but it could get better if people who fled return now that the Taliban are gone.
For the time being, we are happy with these people. The Taliban were cruel. They treated us very badly. If we get a good government, if King Zahir Shah returns to Afghanistan, I think it will be very good. But if the Northern Alliance tries to keep power for themselves, I think the situation will get worse. Because there are a lot of people with guns from many different factions. And they will start fighting again.
But not everyone is so pessimistic. Faisal Al-Jalal teaches political science at Kabul University. He says people's fears are understandable but misplaced. that the leaders of the various factions that make up the Northern Alliance have learned from what happened in the past.
I don't believe that the same fighting will take place here again. Even if some leaders may want to try, I don't think their people will allow it. All the people here, the Tajiks, the Hazaras, the Pashtuns, are tired of fighting all the time. And I think if the leaders try to start fighting again, the people will rise up against them. So I am optimistic about the future.
Faisullah Jalal says he's optimistic in large part because, for the first time, the U.S. is actively involved in Afghanistan. During the past 25 years, he says, the U.S. was only indirectly involved, supporting the Mujahideen against the Soviets, then, he says, losing interest fairly quickly afterwards. This time appears to be different, he says, and if the U.S. helps to guarantee a representative government and Afghanistan's reconstruction, he says, the country will have its best chance in decades at real peace. Michael Sullivan, NPR News, Kabul.